Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
The scripture is Isaiah 6:1-3. I'll be reading this text from the New Living Translation. Isaiah 6:1-3. It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were the mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy is the Lord of heaven armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Amen.
Amen. Happy Sabbath, Church.
Happy Sabbath.
God is good.
All
and now's the time.
God is good.
I did a little survey, and people did not know that I was doing a survey. I was going to preach about modesty in dress. So exactly 6 weeks when I knew that I was going to preach about modesty in dress, I started doing the survey. I went to Pastor Draggett and told him, "Hey, I feel impressed to go and talk about dress because it's an issue that we need to address." He said, "Go ahead and do it. But do it in grace. Do it in grace." So I went on ahead and told the people in the youth choir, "I'm going to speak about dress." Their faces changed. Are you guys awake? Their faces and the expression changed. I asked another lady, an older lady, "Hey, I'm going to speak about dress." She told me these young people need to know it because the young men in our church, they have Superman eyes. I was thrown away. What does, like, they look and then they look inside. And then I told Samuel when we were singing, before we were practicing, I was about to speak to the people who were about to sing about dress. And Samuel, the person who led the music, the morning prayer, if you don't know who that is, he told me, "No, brother, let Esther do it." Because I was too militant. "Let Esther do it." Anyway, I'm not going to preach about modesty in dress because in all of that, there was a young person, a young girl who wanted to sing, and she had blue hair. So it's hair extensions. So she had blue hair and she wanted to come up front and sing. Me and her, we had a conversation. The very next day I saw her, all that hair was taken off. And she sang today. Praise God. Amen? Let us pray. Our kind and heavenly Father, open our hearts and open our minds. Fill us with your Spirit, please, I ask. In Jesus' name I do pray and believe. Amen. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Isaiah, and we are going to get back to it, but we need to move forward and see where we are supposed to go today. You know, I've been asking several people to pray and to pray for me, because I honestly don't have time. I think so. That's what I just need, 2 more hours. I don't know about you guys, but I need 2 more hours in my day. Every single day, and I mean it. On Thursday, we were supposed to come here for the practice. These young people, by the way, they only practiced 3 times. 3 times, and that's how they sang. We got home after practice at 9 o'clock. And then my daughter asked me, "Dada, do you want to play ball with me?" And I still hadn't made my notes for my sermon. So I started praying. The only thing that I've been praying about is to be filled with the Spirit of God. That way I can deliver what I have to deliver today. The topic for my sermon today is the hidden ingredient of the last day DNA. I believe in these times that we are living in right now. As a matter of fact, I know it for sure, because just this past week, I've had 3 different people who are really worldly come talk to me about something strange is happening. I've had all these different opinions whereby somebody said that we have 3 black holes that are coming together. That's why people are acting the way they are acting. I've had other people saying that Russia is going to send something and then everybody out here is going to be decimated and then Russia would come here. They just can't understand what is going on right now. But all of us, one thing that we know is that this earth is coming to an end, and it's coming to an end very fast. Last Sabbath, Pastor Druggett preached about foot washing. Pastor Druggett preached about foot washing. And he talked so eloquently about foot washing and the importance of what an example it is in our lives right before we had communion. And he urged everybody to stay behind. And then afterwards we would have communion. Everybody went. It was time for communion. People came back. Majority of the people who are seated here between all of us left. I'm going to call Mike Wilson right after and ask him not to put this message on air, because I think the message that I have today needs to be between all of us. There's things that we need to be talking about that we are not talking about. But we will make it, because we have a fix. This is the last days, and don't be worried. By the end of all this, you will see the hope, I hope. After seeing those people leave, that's the moment that I knew I had to make a different approach to my sermon and not preach about modesty in dress, because that was not our biggest need. What is our biggest need as 3 Angels Adventist Church? The inconsistent behavior of Sabbath keepers who know that the Lord is coming very soon. And this is me included. I'm not standing here talking about something else that you don't want to hear. But our biggest need is reform in our own ways. If nobody is going to tell you, well, I'm here, I'll tell you. And I don't know if this is going to be the last time that I'm speaking, so I'm just going to take advantage because I have the mic. So I'm just going to say it. The most important thing that we need to figure out is how we can reform our own lives. Understanding that we are Christians, we are so-called Christians, that way we can switch or change the inconsistencies, knowing that Jesus Christ, our Savior and our God, is coming back very soon. There is a deep need for revival and reformation. The only way that we can hasten the second coming of God is if, starting from me, we reform every single act that we are doing. That way we can help the people who are outside. What does this mean? Revival and reformation. It's a change of heart. And I hope you can take notes. That way, you just don't take whatever I'm telling you. Last Sabbath I was talking to Brian and he said that people just sit back and listen and then go home without proofreading or just going after and rereading what they just learned on the Sabbath. You're missing out on a blessing. You see a whole bunch of young people sing up front. We've never had an Adventist youth choir in this church up until today. That was the first one, and I thought it went beautiful. What do you think, Kevin? Praise God. A change of heart. A change in our ways. A change in our appearance. This has a little bit to do also with our dress. When you see two Jehovah's Witnesses knocking at the doors, you would probably know them by just looking at them, right? You walk around and you see two Mormons walking down the street, you would know those are two Mormons, right? Can you spot two Adventist people on Thursday morning going to work? This is something that is hard. I do not have time for soft messages. I'm sorry. But I just have to tell you what it is. Each and everyone in here, in these four walls, we need to change our ways. We need to understand that being a Christian is just not an outward, whereby somebody just calls you once in a while that you are Christian. Being a Christian needs work, and we cannot do it alone. You know, just like that little girl who inspired me through the Holy Spirit, just looking at how determined that she was to come up and sing, that it took her one day to take off all that hair. We need to figure out what's wrong and be willing, not on our own might, but be willing to change. It's the youth Sabbath today, so most people might be thinking that I have a message for the youth. Paula, I don't have a message for the youth. I have a message for everybody. Every single one of us needs to hear what I'm about to say, or what I'm saying. You know, some few months ago, Esther, some few months ago, Veronica Jenkins came and preached and asked us a question that I think he passed most of us. If your story was being written in the Bible, what would it say? You read through the Bible and you see all these characters. Angelani. You see all these characters. All through the Bible, you see all these different characters in the Bible. They're so great. They're so inspiring. But there's a reason. They are not born today. And you are. God knew why you are born when you were born. He has a work that he needs to do through me. He has a work that he needs to do and accomplish through you. These people that we read here in the Bible, might be looking at our stories later on and they say, wow. But it cannot happen like that up until we change. Revival and reformation of our own ways, of our own choices in every aspect. Listen to this quotation that I found in Testimonies, Volume 9, and page 29. It says, if every soldier of Christ had done his duty, every means every single thing. There's not even one that is not there. If every soldier of Christ had done his duty, if every watchman in the walls of Zion had given the trumpet a certain sound. Oof. You're sleeping on me. You're sleeping. Vincent. If every watchman in the walls of Zion had given the trumpet a certain sound, the world might have heard the message of warning. That's the three angels' message. But, she continues on, but the work is years. This is back then. So think about all this time that we are living in right now. Right? Are you guys awake? But the work is years behind while men have slept. Stephen, wake up. Men have slept. So what is happening if men have slept? Me, you, we are all the ones she's talking about here. So what has happened? Satan has stolen a march on us. We are the only ones who are delaying the work that it will be done. I want to impress upon you about the Israelites when they were supposed to go to Canaan. It wasn't supposed to take that long. But if the watchmen in the walls of Zion God is good. You can't even talk right now, right? I'm preaching to myself. Before I wrote this, I've been awake since 3 o'clock in the morning. Because I just need 2 more hours a day. You know, I came home yesterday. In my mind, it's like, this is the most important job that I have to do, right? So I get off work and then I go home. I don't even want to help my wife because I just got to figure out the sermon. So I'm just going. But at the same time, my lovely wife cooked dinner for us, right? Had the babies washed, right? She took a shower, picked up the house. The whole time I was thinking like that. We need to make a change in our own lives. That is me. I'm telling you about me. Whereby it would have been easier maybe if I just was of service to my wife and helped her out. I just didn't realize this till this morning. How ignorant I was of that. We are going to see a little bit of a clip here that I want you to follow, because the sermon topic for today is the hidden ingredient of the last generation, the DNA for them. So in 1950, we had Formula One. How many people know what Formula One is? Don't raise your hand. Somebody might look at you and then think that you're just a fanatic of the television or something. You know, we are all Adventists. But Formula One racing has evolved from 1950 till today. I want you to look at this clip. Wait, and I think we can all see. Take this thing off. I do not preach with the screen because we are Adventists. We are going to get to Scripture. Do not worry about that. We are going to get to the Scripture because this is the only thing that needs to be most important to us. Do not forget how I started. I started talking because I thought maybe there was a small problem with the way we were dressing. But that's not the issue. There's a problem when a preacher comes here over and over and over and over, pleading, asking people, hey, we need to do this. Immediately after, we go out. We just forget what he said. Does that bring memory to anything in the Bible? No? Yes, what? What does it bring memories of? Yes, 40 years in the wilderness, yes. But then again, think about in the book of Luke, right? When Jesus is talking, and then he's telling people, just as the days of Noah. Which scripture is that? Brian. Just as the days of Noah is going to be in the book of Luke. I don't have it in my notes because I want us to look. That way we can understand. People were eating. They ate. Pastor? I'm looking for a scripture in the Bible that is talking about in Luke. Jesus is telling people just as they ate. They ate. They drank. They had their hands in marriage. Matthew 37. I'm sorry, what? Matthew 37? Okay, go ahead, Brenda. Read for us. What does it say? Thank you. They ate, they drank, their hands in marriage were given away. For 120 years, 120, this man was standing in front of people and preaching, guys, there's a storm that's coming, it's going to rain. The past 3 days it has rained, right? It even was raining a while back outside. That is nothing. It rained, and it rained. And it rained. But for 120 years, nobody would listen. It is so systematic how we are told from back then, just like the days of Noah. In the book of Luke, he goes again, just as the days of Lot. They ate. They drank. They gave their hands out in marriage, but nobody is listening. Nobody is listening. Jesus is coming soon. You need to live right now in that presence, knowing, in the presence of mind, every single day, whereby this is the most important need for our lives, to understand that it's not business as usual. You come, you wake up, or you stay here, and then Sabbath school, after Sabbath school, we are going to go listen to the pastor, and then after that fellowship meal, we get out, we look onto our phones, and then we go home. We do not bother about Vespers. It is not important. I have so many different things. But then again, you go home, I'm doing visitations every afternoon. I found somebody underneath their car on a Sabbath afternoon. Nobody is safe, by the way. So if I have had interactions with you, I'm sorry. But I have to say this. What is that that is so important? Did you hear what Denise said? Our valuables. Our valuables. Come on, people. Wake up. Our valuables. Our valuables. Are they more important than the realization than the realization that Jesus is coming back soon. Can I have this mic on, please? Paula, read that scripture for me, please. Yes.
It's Luke 17.
Listen.
Verse 26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed.
Thank you. I have pages here. I have pages. We have potluck today. And I do apologize because you will live here when I live here when I'm done. So a lot of people, you know, we don't have patience. You know, we have driven pastor to be oriented whereby we need to get these people just the message, and then we go because people are so impatient. But guess what? I haven't even gotten to my sermon yet. Anyway, let's straight turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 27, and from verses 46. Matthew 27, and starting from verse 26. 46, I'm sorry. And then this is Jesus. This is Jesus, and this is how it goes. It says, and at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God. My God, why have you forsaken me? You know, Brian came up here and preached about the cross. We are told also from the spirit of prophecy that we need to spend about a thoughtful hour just contemplating and thinking about these things. These are really important things, guys. I hope you're following me. Forget all that F1 nonsense that I put up here. Stay with me now. In the book of Desire of Ages, page 687, this is what explains that verse. It says, behold to him, contemplating the price to be paid for the human soul. In his agony, he clings to the cold ground as if preventing himself from being drawn farther away from God. Jesus is on the cross, and then he's thinking, my God, why have you forsaken me? I'm going somewhere, people. Follow me closely. Follow me closely. Going further, page 753 in the same book, it continues saying, but now, with the terrible weight of guilt he bears, he cannot see the Father's reconciling face. I have a point. I have a point. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Two times. The withdrawal, she continues, the withdrawal of the divine countenance, the withdrawal of the divine countenance from the Savior in the hour of supreme anguish, in the hour of supreme anguish, pierced his heart. Sorrow pierced his heart with sorrow than can ever be understood by a man. So great was his agony that his physical pain was hardly felt. I want you to think about what I just said. And this is inspiration. The pain and the weight of the sin was so deep that it was piercing Christ. It was more than the pain of having stakes driven through his legs, through his hands and a crown of thorns in his head. And then he cried, "My God." One. "My God." Two. Remember, there are three that bear witness in heaven. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three. But something strange was happening. Something strange was happening to the Son. Something strange was happening between these three. In the clip that we just watched, there was things that I know you were too busy counting that you missed. There's three characters. There's an anchor. There's a team leader. And then there's a driver. The hydraulic thing that they put in into the car, if it breaks, that's $90 million that they need to fix. $90 million. McLaren, this is another team, it's a Formula One team, has broken that in 2016 three times in one calendar year. Somebody needs to answer. $90 million. There's three important people in there. You take out one of them loses concentration. Denise. One of them loses concentration, you're going to have a catastrophic error and things will go bad really fast. All three, the team leader, his job, he was not even in the picture. He has a button, he has a laptop and everything that he's doing. Whenever everybody has done whatever they need to do, he hits the button and then the red light turns green. That's his job. He pushes it thinking that these other people have done their job. While they have not done their job, we will have an error. Three. My God. My God. These are solemn times, people. I'm forcing you to think. A lot of people are lost, but just try to bear with me. I have a point. This was something that was really strange when Jesus was on the cross. This was something, I want to go on even a step extra and say this was something new to the Godhead. This was a strange, strange, strange happening that was happening that God had to turn his face. He had to turn his face completely from his Son. I have my boy, Caleb. Every time, on Wednesdays is the worst. I get home almost about 9 because I'm coming from two Bible studies that I've had. I can't help it. I'm trying also just to put it on autopilot, my car, but I just feel like I need to go and get to see my boy and my daughter as well, but most especially my wife. Separation is something that we cannot bear. Jesus was not dying because of the pain. There's nerves that are here. There's nerves that are here. There's nerves that are down here. They're really sensitive. But that was nothing. Absolutely nothing. But the fear that he might not see his Father again. Made him cry out, "My God! My God! Why hast thou forsaken me?" I want to take it a step further. In the book Desire of Ages, she continues writing, "In that thick darkness, God's presence was hidden. And in that dreadful hour, Christ was not to be comforted with the Father's presence. He tread the winepress alone." My sermon topic today, I'm talking about a hidden ingredient. Where was the Holy Spirit then? My God, my God. Darkness, deep darkness. deep, deep darkness. Because Christ had to be seen for us, for me, every single day, sin is causing separation between me and my God. Jesus had to be seen, Larry. Jesus had to be seen. And sin and God, a holy God, cannot coexist. He had to pull out. As I said, this is a real new realm. I'm almost done, guys. I'm almost done. 1 John 5:7. Are we there yet? First John 5 verse 7. And it reads, "For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. But at the cross, there was one that was missing. Thus, my God, one God, God the Father. Two, my God, God the Spirit. There is no three." At that point, I hope you don't miss it. This is very important. There was no intercessor. There was nobody interceding for Christ at the cross. There was no intercessor. Thus, my God, my God. We are told there's going to come a time of probation. To go through that time where we will not have somebody interceding for our sins, we will need something. There's a key ingredient right there that we need. It's not that it has been missing. It has been there from the very beginning. I hope you're following me. Stephen, are you with me? For us to get to a point, something outstanding. Pastor said the other day, a few months ago, Pastor came and talked about homosexuality. That we cannot even come up front on the pews or some up here and talk about this freely. Because it's against going against the grain in our church. There is a time that is coming, people. I need each and every one of us to wake up and really understand what we are doing. I'm not saying this that way we can go to the internet or trying to bring attention to myself. I'm just bringing a realization that we are living at the very last days. What is motivating you to be a Christian right now? There is a time. The book of John, not 1 John. Move to the book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. I'm almost done. John 10 and verses 30. It says, "I and my Father are one." But at the cross, I want to paint a picture that way you can understand. At the cross, there was something that was missing, right? I and my Father are one. There was something strange that was happening. Because Christ had to bear our sins, like I just said. Sin cuts us off. Sin cuts us off from the presence of God. That's why you can see people coming in and opening the doors, while they see the table out here, they will walk back and go. That's why you see a pastor coming up front and talking to us, "Hey, let us do whatever we need to do." But then again, because of sin in our minds, I'm talking to the young people now, because of sin in our minds, we think that we do not have a Savior. Well, thank God for Christ. Thank God for Christ. That even in the deepest darkness, let me stress that again, even in the deepest darkness, we return back to the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Right? Even in the deepest darkness, God reached out his outstretched arm and got a thief. You're missing the point. You're missing the point. You're missing the point. Even in the deepest, deepest darkness, a sinner like me, I'm not standing here not knowing that I have weakness. No, my friends, no. No. Even in the deepest darkness, God's love reached down and got a sinner. Because we know in Scripture that he said today, right? Today, you and me, we're going to heaven, right? You're missing it, guys. I don't know. Am I that bad? Like, I just, these are really, really important things. We need to figure out what is it that is hurting us or keeping away or taking away from us. That way we cannot be in communion with God. The only thing that God wants in life is to reconcile us and him. That's the only thing he wants. He wants that more than to see us suffer. It doesn't matter what you have done. God is calling us. God is calling us because we have time right now. But there's going to be a time whereby we will miss that key ingredient. Our scripture reading from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 and 3. And I'm going to read it out loud. Stick with me now. Come on, church. Stick with me. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, so this is the favorite part, this is my favorite part of the sermon. Holy, one. Holy, two. Holy, three. Did you guys miss it? My God, why have you forsaken me? this is Isaiah being given a vision of God, of heavenly throne. He sits back and we are told that he said holy three times. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm not making this stuff up. Fast forward, right? In the book of Revelation, this is past after Jesus. In the book of Revelation, and by the way, when I was looking for that sermon, I had scripture notes, and for some reason, two pages are missing. The page about Luke, and then the page of John. But in the book of John, in the book of Revelation chapter 4. This is after Christ had risen and gone to heaven. Turn with me there, please. Are you there? Amen. Revelation 4. Starting from verse 8. And it reads, the four living creatures having six wings. Did you catch that? Did you? I mean, are you missing it? I want to thank Elaine. She gave me a set of Adventist commentary, you know, and she said you need to use those. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around within, and they did not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, one, holy, two, holy, three, Lord God of mighty, who was and is to come." My friends, these are solemn times that we're living in. These are solemn times that we are living in right now. We need to ask ourselves, what is it that is motivating me to go out to school every single day? What is it that is motivating me to go to work every day? For what? Who am I living for? Am I living for my Lord? Or am I living for my children? Or am I living just to live because I lost the script? This is the solution, and this is the key ingredient. Are you guys ready? I'm about to reveal it if you missed it throughout the whole service. We need an extra, underline the word extra, we need an extra measure of the Spirit of God more than ever. We need a measure, an extra measure of the Spirit of God. The latter rain. Remember when I mentioned during the sermon, I mentioned about the people in the Bible, the people who really inspire us every single day. Well, you can inspire somebody else. There's people who are watching right now. They're watching us. We don't have power. I love Christ. Yeah, I love Jesus. You know? It does not mean that you do not have a Spirit of God. You might have it. But we need an extra measure of it. We need an extra measure of it. That way, we can finish the work that Jesus Christ, sent us to do. The latter rain. In Matthew 27, when Christ was crying on the cross, he knew that he did not have an intercessor. But the good news now is that we can pray like Christ or cry out like Christ. My God, one. My God, two. My God, three. Thank you. Thank you for not forsaking me. This means I'm done. It is 12:32. I thought I was going to go till 1 o'clock. But I want to... Did you guys enjoy that special music that we had? Do you guys want to hear them one more time? Come on. Esther, come on. We are done. Special music. Young people, hurry up, please. That's why you're young. Hurry up. Just come on. Come on. And while we sing, look at the words of the song. There's a specific reason why the Spirit of the Lord brought that song and the message tied together like the way it is. Watch the words. Watch the words and ask yourself, what is it that is so important?
For this cause I live, for this the joy of trust. When agonizing questions rise, in Jesus all my hopes abide.
For His cause I live, for His cause I die, I surrender all for the cause of Christ. All I once held dear, I will leave behind, for my joy.
Happened, I found the piece that I was missing in my notes. I just found it right now. I have a specific call. I have a very specific call. If you know that your eyes have lost the mark, you've been focusing more about your own happiness or the cause, more than the cause of Christ, and you need prayer to reform right now and change. Come forward, please. We pray about it. I'm here right now because I know I need to change. If there's a way or if there's a single thing that is overcoming you, that you feel that you need help in a way that I'm not fully in, and you need help. And then moving forward, you are going to make different changes come. Do not resist the urge that you're feeling right now. That is the Spirit. Please come. Let us pray about it and be about our Father's business. We need revival. We need reformation. We need to make a change. We need to make a change in our own ways. We need to make a change in our own lives, in our own appearance, whereby we are going out and then we are bringing people in. We are missing that power, and that power is what we are going to pray about. Pastor Dragon, come pray for us. Get this man a mic.
Holy, 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 the everlasting God, Father, our Lord, our Savior. We have seen your Spirit at work. You have touched many hearts here today. And Father, you have challenged us to love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind. Father, as every single one of us who have come up here and those who are sitting in the pews but still have made a decision, I pray, Father, that you will help us to know in our inmost heart that we are called, that we have a mission, that we have a purpose, and that we are empowered by your Spirit to walk out these doors where what we have heard here will not rub off. It will stay with us during this week, during the next month, during the next years, that we will be with you and know that you have not and will not forsake us. Please, Father, may every person know that we have a Savior, yes, that we have a Lord, yes, that we have a future, yes, and that we have a hope, and that we can live for that and be convicted and be convicting as we mingle with others. Thank you, Father, for this group of young people. Thank you for this army of youth as well as older ones who will be successful in mission because we are called by you and you are the one that will bring about that success. Oh, Father, we will stand back and watch as we, yes, we do your bidding and we will see you do the results. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. You know, as the youth Sabbath, we are not done. Please, if you're going out, just sit 2 minutes. That was just the altar call. Let me share a story with you real quick. You might be thinking this is a youth Sabbath. Maybe he had a message driven for the young children, but that's not the point. There's a man. His name is Abraham Leroux. Abraham Leroux was 65 years old. And then Abraham Leroux went. He decided to go to the general conference and ask for money because he wanted to be a missionary. Next week we are having missionaries come, right? Yes. Abraham Leroux went at 65 years old, if you're calling yourself old, right? 65 years old, Abraham Leroux went on a mission. The general conference told him that, no, we don't have money. No, you're too old. You're too old to do something. He went out there. And then he kept walking. And then he kept walking. And then he kept walking. For 14 years. 14 years. That's the very first time he had his first batch of people who had accepted the message. 14 years after 65. What is your challenge? Let us all stand.
Let us pray.
Okay. Father, we want to thank you for who you are. Just be with us and send us your Spirit, Father, because there's nothing else that we need now more than ever. In Jesus' name, I do pray and believe. Amen.
Amen.